Okay. Arya, I'm going to need your help, okay? If you could wear any color dress, like just think you're going to go to a party, you're going to wear a beautiful dress, what color would you pick?
Pink.
Pink? Ooh, all right. So imagine Arya is going to wear this beautiful pink dress. Now, if I showed you these pictures, do you know Cinderella? Have you seen this movie? Okay. Now I had to do some sermon research this week and rewatch a good portion of Cinderella to see if this would. Actually, for me, I had to. But anyways, Arya, up here, out of these three women up here, who's the most beautiful, would you say?
Cinderella.
Cinderella, except you said pink dress would be the most beautiful, right? Why would you pick Cinderella over her stepsister? I don't know if this is Drizella or Anastasia. That's Anastasia? Okay. Why would you pick Cinderella to be more beautiful over Anastasia? She's wearing the pink dress. Ah, so beauty, I would say, is more than just the color of our dress or clothes, right? So if we watch the movie, we realize these two gals are kind of nasty. They're very selfish. They're rude, right? We don't like them. And even though they're wearing pretty colored dresses, we're like, ugh, I don't like those characters, right? We like beautiful Cinderella. And what makes Cinderella beautiful isn't so much what she's wearing, right? It's the character. It's who she is, right? It's how she's kind, she's helpful, she's loving, especially even to the little lowly mice that get themselves in trouble. Have you guys ever, when was the last time you watched Cinderella? I didn't realize the cat's name in Cinderella is Lucifer. What the heck? Anyways, side note. We're talking this morning about being adorned and what makes us beautiful, okay? It's not just simply the clothes we wear, because otherwise we would say, Arya, if you wore a pink dress, it would just make you beautiful. And the fact is, you're beautiful because God made you, your character beautiful. It's not just your outward adornment, okay? So this morning we're going to talk about adornment and what Proverbs says about that. Would you guys turn to Proverbs 4? Again, we're just going to read three verses this morning, but turn to Proverbs 4, verses 7 to 9, and then stand with me out of reverence as we read God's word. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. You may be seated. So this week is maybe slightly different than what we've been doing for the last couple of months. A lot of times I have, you know, points or thoughts about like what we need to do or things like that. Today it's more just like thinking about wisdom in a certain way. So the first, I want us to think about wisdom as clothing, okay? So this kind of stuck out to me as I've read through Proverbs before. Wisdom is described in these different ways, kind of how you wear wisdom. And I thought it would be interesting to look at that together. So wisdom is clothing. If we look at Proverbs 1, 8 to 9, it's here again. Remember, Proverbs is written from Solomon to his son. His son's wanting to get married, and Solomon is the wisest man on earth. And he's been given this wisdom from God, and he wants to pass it along to his son for instructions for life, but also, like, how are you going to live? What's the wife you're going to marry? What's the family you're going to have? How are you going to lead the people after me? You need God's wisdom. So this kind of context here, but Proverbs 1, 8 to 9 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and penance for your neck. So again, we just get this kind of picture language of instruction and teaching and wisdom being something that we would wear, like jewelry. And if you think about jewelry, most jewelry, it doesn't weigh you down, right? It's something that you put on and it adorns you. If you want to go the Mr. T route and wear like 30 gold chains, it probably weighs you down a little bit. But for the most part, the reason people wear some jewelry, it's pretty simple, and it adorns you. It makes you look good. And obedience to godly instruction is like that. It's not chains that hold you down and weigh you down, but adornment. It's this obedience from the heart. It makes you beautiful when you wear wisdom in your daily life. Does that make sense? So this obedience from the heart, it's not like, oh, I have to do this stuff. It's I get to do this stuff, and it's going to make my life more beautiful, both to me and the people around me. That's what wisdom is like as clothing, or as jewelry in this sense. Proverbs 3:21-22. Solomon writes this, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck." Again, this wisdom, I think about this, be life for your soul. First of all, wisdom brings life to the inside. If we receive God's wisdom and hold on to that, it brings life to the inside of us. It brings strength. It brings steadfastness. It brings faith. It shapes who we are. There's this thing that goes on inside when we receive God's wisdom. Wisdom also then, as Solomon points out here, it's like adornment for your neck. Again, this picture language, wisdom brings beauty to your life. It brings that character. It brings the godly obedience that attracts others to you and what you have. And I also think of it just like a tree. You know, you look at a tree, maybe not that tree, but a fruit tree, let's say. You know, there's roots that are hidden deep down and you don't see them. That's kind of like that life to your soul. The life comes, through the roots and in the trunk, but the roots are hidden deep down, but they bring life to that tree. And what you see outwardly then is also the leaves and the fruit. It brings nourishment and beauty to those around them. So just Solomon telling his son, keep sound wisdom, keep discretion. They will bring life to you inside and they will be an adornment for you. Others will be attracted to that through you. Proverbs 31:25. Again, remember the context of a lot of Proverbs. Solomon is challenging his son, listen and receive godly wisdom, because you're going to need a wife that is going to help you live wisely and build a family wisely. So Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." This is talking about the ideal wife. Okay? And she's not praised for external beauty, but for her character. So we're going to get to Proverbs 31 in a couple weeks. But just again, as we even read this one little verse here, she's clothed in strength. She's grounded. She's stable. Because she has the Lord's wisdom. And she's clothed in dignity. It's not because of her high status. It's because of the inner honor that shapes how others see her. And because of the wisdom she has on the inside, she is fearless of the future. We don't know what the future is going to bring. And yet this woman laughs at the time to come. I can handle anything because I have the Lord and his wisdom. A woman can lose her youthful look. She can lose fancy clothes or a nice job. But a woman who is firm and faithful in who she is as God's child, that's beautiful, and that can't be taken away. All right, one last thought on this point, as wisdom is clothing. We're going to shift a little bit. We're going to do a little contrast. But imagine you have this pure gold nose ring, okay? It used to be in. It wasn't for a long time. Now it's back in, okay? But you have this pure gold nose ring. It's beautiful. And you would imagine any woman that wears this is going to look beautiful, right? Anyone who puts in this nose ring is going to look gorgeous. Proverbs 11:22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Doesn't she look gorgeous? Malachi, don't you think she looks pretty? No, but she has that gold ring in there. Doesn't that make her look beautiful? It looks silly, doesn't it? It looks absurd. A gold ring, a pure gold ring, let's say, it doesn't belong in a pig's nose. Beauty without discretion is like putting expensive jewelry on a pig. Okay? It doesn't make the pig more beautiful. It just shows off foolishness. Why take something so precious and give it to something or someone that doesn't care? Okay? It just shows off foolishness. This is a warning against valuing outward adornment over inward wisdom. The beauty that comes from within is from the Lord. And if we focus on all the beautiful things outside, we miss out on the beauty that the Lord wants to give us and use to attract others. Okay? So just think about that. Next, I want to think about wisdom as a crown. So the Proverbs talks about wisdom as a crown. It's another thing that we would adorn ourselves with. If we could be royalty, we would want to wear a crown. Let's go back to the verse that we read together earlier. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. You first read that verse 7, you're like, okay, beginning of wisdom, how do I get it? Well, get it. Right? It's kind of silly, but I think what Solomon's saying is, wisdom. If you want to get wisdom, it starts with you recognizing your need for it. And then also discerning how to live rightly. You want wisdom? Ask for it. See your need for wisdom in your life. And I think there's a difference here. A lot of times maybe we might think about wisdom as just, you know, a lot of information, facts about life or whatever. But I would say there's a lot of really smart people out there that aren't very wise. There's a difference between wisdom and facts of knowledge, right? And I think Solomon's saying that, like, don't just get a bunch of information and puff yourself up. This is about receiving the Lord's wisdom and his insight so that it directs you in life. That's what's important. And then he goes on. He describes wisdom again. A lot of times wisdom is personified as a woman here. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Prize wisdom above all. Instead of chasing after riches or beauty or whatever, say, no, Lord, I want your wisdom. I want your wisdom to come and shape me and guide me in life. That's what I need to prize. Treasure her. And just, again, this picture language, like wisdom kind of being like the ideal wife. That's what we want as young men looking for a wife. We would want this person to be close to us, to embrace her. Keep her close. Keep in relationship with God's wisdom. And then she will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. When you receive her, when you hold on to her, when you prize her highly, it will be like wearing a royal crown. Wisdom recognizes a life well lived and the earned glory and honor that comes with embracing her. Proverbs 14:18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. It's talking about two different kinds of people. There's other places in the Proverbs where it talks about the simple in a positive way, where, you know, you need to be simple in order to receive wisdom and things like that. Here, I believe he's talking about simple in the fact This is someone who just simply ignores or rejects wisdom. And they earn foolishness by being simple and saying, nah, I'm good. I'm good just with what I have and what I can attain. Don't be simple, Solomon says. Be prudent. The prudent are those who are careful and thoughtful about what they do. They accept God's wisdom as a guide. And as they go through life with this guide, they're adding knowledge as they gain experience and face challenges. God is revealing more of himself and his word and his ways to you as you're embracing his wisdom. Don't be simple, be prudent. Care about your future and do it by embracing wisdom. You will be crowned with God's knowledge when you do so. Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. I was expecting some more amens out of that one. There we go. At least half of us, right? Here's the thing. This one kind of feels different, you know, but gray hair is a crown of glory. In our culture, I don't think we really view that, do we? A lot of times. Let's color it. And I think some people age more quickly than what they mature. We see this all the time. Just because you have gray hair does not mean you're mature or wise or righteous. Okay, so not all gray hair is glorious in this way. It's glorious, church, when it's joined with a righteous life. Amen. Okay? The older you are, the wiser you should be. So younger people, become the kind of older person whose gray hair will be a crown, not just a color. If you are pairing this age and wisdom and experience with a righteous life, that gray hair on your head is a symbol. It's a crown of glory. It's saying, I have followed the Lord. I have so many years of walking with the Lord. This is a crown, and I'm proud to wear it. And I welcome younger people to come to me and receive godly instruction because I've been walking in it. It's our mission as older people to say to younger people, come. Hear from me, because I hear from the Lord. So again, it needs to be paired with a righteous life, and then that gray hair is looked upon as a crown of glory. Here's another one that's a little different. Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Again, I chose this one because this crown language in here, I think it kind of fits. If a crown symbolizes honor and beauty and joy, imagine being royalty. You have this crown. Kind of picture that. For older people, I think one of the greatest signs of God's blessing isn't just more stuff. If all you're gaining throughout your life is just more and more stuff, you're missing it. But for older people, one of the greatest signs of God's blessing is your family continuing on in God's wisdom. That's what makes the grandchildren a crown. If children and grandchildren are continuing on in the wisdom of the Lord, it's like having a crown with many diadems. It's beautiful. And likewise, here it says the glory of children is their father's. I think children take pride in who their dad is, and if it's a righteous father, the children will wear that truth like a crown. This is my dad. He's walking with the Lord. He's guiding me in the ways of the Lord, and I know who I am because my dad's following the Lord. It's so important, church, that we think about who we are in Christ and live that out, because we're affecting other generations. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Again, if this crown symbolizes honor and beauty and joy and wisdom. We have to think about it that way. The wife then is not just a trophy. Hey, look at my wife, right? It's someone the Lord is pairing the husband with. She brings honor to her husband. She brings his life beauty and joy. A wise wife beautifies her husband and her family. And you contrast that here in this verse. Instead of a crown, she could be decay to his body. He eats away at his strength. And again, I don't think that these verses are simply about gray hair and grandchildren and wives. Okay? It's about character and relationships and the adornment of wisdom in our relationships. That's what I think Solomon's getting at. Be that person that beautifies those around you through the wisdom of the Lord. And none of us are consistently adorn ourselves or one another with wisdom and righteousness. If you looked at my life this last week, I am more often than not adorning my wife, my children, those around me with godly wisdom and righteousness. I cannot do it on my own. I can't. And Proverbs shows us our desperate need for a beauty that we cannot produce on our own. We're reading all these verses. Wow, this is a beautiful life. And yet left to myself, I can't get there. I want to think back to Cinderella, that illustration. I think it points in the right direction, but true beauty isn't found in gowns or jewels. Right? We talked about that already. The gospel is better than a fairy tale because it tells us the truth. We aren't Cinderella, pure and noble on our own. That's where I felt the illustration fell short, because I think we get this picture watching Cinderella. Oh, she's just pure and noble. That's just who she is. But that's not our story. If I had to identify with someone in the movie, I'm probably like the stepsister. I'm selfish and proud, and I need someone outside of myself to come in and rescue me. And if we try to do it on our own, we all know the ending of the movie, right? The stepsisters are trying on that glass slipper and they don't fit. And I think that's the picture of our life when we try to do it on our own, in our own efforts. It doesn't fit God's perfect righteousness. It doesn't fit. And we're not qualified. And yet Jesus came, God's wisdom in the flesh, came and lived this perfect life. He can wear God's righteousness perfectly because he is God. And he came in our place to die for our sins and offer us salvation. So, even though we are like the stepsisters, unworthy to receive the blessing and the glory, Christ came to clothe us in his beauty and crown us with his glory. And we can fit his adornment if we unite to him in faith. So if we put our faith in Jesus and his saving work on the cross and his help of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can fit his adornment. So my last thought that I want to think about here is Christ being our clothing and our crown. We can't just get it by reading Proverbs. Oh, okay, I got to wear wisdom like a jewelry or like a crown. It doesn't work that simple. I can't muster that up on my own. I need someone to clothe me. And Jesus can do it. Isaiah 61, Don referenced this earlier. He sang about it. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Just this picture of God saying, I will adorn you with what you need to have life with me. God will provide the right garments, and he does it through Jesus. Galatians 3. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's, again, this picture kind of just like I would put on some clothing or a robe or things like that. I'm putting it on. When I put my faith in Jesus, when I obey him by getting baptized, it's like I'm putting him on every day. Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need to wrap myself up in your righteousness. That's how I make it. That's how I become beautiful. And we put our trust in Jesus, we become one with him, and we experience life through him. So we put on his righteousness, and just life is hunky-dory, right? No problems. I'm wearing Christ's righteousness. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the what? The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Okay, so we clothe ourselves with Christ's righteousness by uniting ourselves to him in faith, but that doesn't mean that life is just easy. Trials will come, but yet we are meant to rely on Christ's strength to get us through. It's his righteousness that helps me get through these hard times and trials. And you think about, James also thanks the Lord for the trials. Trials are pathways to crowns. If we didn't have the trials, we would see no need to put on Christ's righteousness and strength and wisdom. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Again, when we clothe ourselves in Christ's righteousness and wisdom, when we face trials in the strength of Christ's adornment, when he does come back, he has a crown for us. No longer will you face any more trials. You will be with him in glory forever, wearing a crown as he is. Earthly crowns fade. Christ's crown endures for eternity. And Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. And what does Jesus promise? I will give you the crown of life. We're not going to sugarcoat. The Christian life is not just easy peasy. It's hard. In many ways, it's harder because we realize our need for a Savior and we need to die to ourselves each and every day. But as we face those trials, as we adorn ourselves with Christ's righteousness and wisdom, we can make it. And when we do die, we can receive the crown of life. Well done, good and faithful servant. You made it. You put your faith in me. You wore my clothing. You wore my crown. Here, wear this crown of life forever. I have to throw one more thing in there, right? Cinderella, at the end of the movie, because she fit in that slipper perfectly, she was the one that got to marry the prince and live happily ever after, right? Only the true bride gets to marry the prince. And Revelation 21:2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, all of God's people coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Church, when we put our faith in Christ, when we put on his clothing and crown, we are being adorned like a beautiful bride for her husband. That's what it's like. Jesus is looking at his church saying, I love you. I am going to clothe you with my righteousness, and you are going to look beautiful. We are going to be united forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, too often we try to clothe ourselves with our own efforts, with worldly wisdom. Lord, help us to surrender that to you. Help us, Lord, to see wisdom as something to put on. Help us to see wisdom as a crown to wear, and that we can only receive it through you. Lord, would you clothe us with your salvation? Would you clothe us with your righteousness? Would you clothe us with your wisdom? Lord, I just pray this week, not that we try harder, but that we surrender to you more. Lord, we thank you that you want to clothe us in your adornment. And I pray that each person here would make it in faith to the end, and that we would rejoice when we receive that crown of life forever. And all God's people said, amen.